Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you. Let's get started, or let's get continuing, I guess, in the sugya of Chaticha Nasas Nevela. Baruch Hashem, we should finish up Chaticha Nasas Nevela today, and then next time, tomorrow, we'll move on beyond Siv Dalid, finally. But there are still a few more inyanim in Siv Dalid to talk about. So last time we spoke about the rayas, different rayas, whether Rabbeinu Ephraim is correct or Rabbeinu Tam is correct, and one of the rayas, and it's all these rayas are brought up by Tosfos and Daf Kuf Amud Aleph and Dibra Maskel B'Shekadam, and one of the rayas that Tosfos brought up was the raya from the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah about Yayin Nesach, that if you have some Yayin Nesach that mixes in with regular wine, and then that wine mixes with something else, so we discussed why don't we say Chanan over there. Is it because that's a raya that there's no Chanan B'Shari Surim, or is there some other reason? So Tosos in Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, Tosos suggested that fundamentally we would say Chanan even by a mixture of Lach B'Lach, and therefore Tosos has to come up with another reason why not to say Chanan in the case of Yayin Nesach. However, there are many other Rishonim that say that no, it's not even a shaila, it's not even a raya to begin with. To bring a raya from a case of yayin that mixes with yayin, that's a tarovus of lach balach. When you're dealing with tarovus of lach balach, you're never going to say chaticha nasas nevela. They point out that chaticha nasas nevela is when you have a blia of a liquid into a food. But when there's just a total fusion and mixture and combination of two liquids that just completely meld together, that you would never say chanan on such a thing. That seems to be a klal that emerges according to many Rishonim, that we simply would not say chaticha nas nevela when it comes to lach balach. And this is critical because the Rambam mentions it over here. So again, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Ephraim don't seem to make this distinction, but a lot of Rishonim do. And we're going to go through, we're going to enumerate those Rishonim that make this distinction between Lach B'Lach versus non-Lach B'Lach. I would even say, the way the Rama said, between Lach B'Lach and Yavesh B'Yavesh, in either of those cases, we don't say Chanan, versus when you have, Tam that goes into a Chaticha, where you would say Chanan. So Yavesh B'Yavesh means that there's no transfer of Tam at all. It's just a mixture of different items that you can't identify which is which, so that you don't say Chanan. And Lach Balach, based on this Kasha from Masechta Avodah Zarah, a number of the Rishonim say Lach Balach, you don't say Chanan. The question is, well, why not? Meaning, I get by Yavish B'Yavish, right? Yavish B'Yavish makes plenty of sense, so you're not going to say Chaticha Nas Nevela, because there's no Tam that goes into anything, so you're not going to say Chaticha Nas Nevela. But by Lach Balach, there is Tam, meaning there, if you have a Tarovis of some kosher with non-kosher liquids, so of course there's tam that goes into it, and of course there's a blia that goes in, even if it's min b'mino, there's at least a blia, if not tam. So why is it that we would not say chatich nas nevelos? There seem to be four different shitos in the Rishonim as to why it is that we don't say Chanan. Where we draw the line in terms of how different they are from each other will hopefully become clearer as we go. But let's go through the four basic shitos in Rishonim. Again, this is four shitos in Rishonim, all within the camp of those Rishonim that say that you can't say Chaticha Nas Nevela on a Tarovus of Lach Balach. Right? If you hold that you can say Chaticha Nas Nevela on Lach Balach, so that's a whole separate category of Rishonim. That's Rabbeinu Tam, that's the Balei HaTosos. But within those who disagree with the Balei HaTosos and hold that there's no kasha from the Sugi and Avodah Zarah, because Sugi and Avodah Zarah is Lach B'Lach, and Lach B'Lach's got nothing to do with Chaticha Nas Nevela, there are four approaches as to why there's no Chaticha Nas Nevela and Lach B'Lach. So approach number one is the Shita of the Ravid. This Ravid is quoted by all of the other Rishonim. It's quoted by the Ramban on Kuf Chesam Beis and Dibra Maschel Avol. It's quoted by the Rashba in the Torah. It's quoted by the Ran on the Rif in Parakal Basan Dibra Maslava Acherin. And they argue that Chanan only makes sense when there's a blia of a liquid into a food, because you're never going to be able to totally purge that blia from that food. And even if you cook it with other food and some of that blia is going to go out into the other food, there's always going to be this higher concentration of the blia in the original food that absorbed the tam of Isser. And essentially what the Ravid says is that that higher concentration of Abliya is Chanan. That's why Chaticha Nas Nevela, because it's always going to, that original food that absorbed the Tam of Isser is always going to have a greater level of the Tam of Isser. But if you have a case where some Yayin Nesach mixes with regular wine, and that mixture is Usser, and then you add water to that mixture, so you don't take you can't say that the original wine is more. Suffused with the tam or with the presence of the Yayin Nesach than the water is. It's factually incorrect. It totally spreads completely evenly throughout the water. It gets completely diffused evenly throughout the entire liquid. Yayin Nesach is therefore, or any Davarlach, is therefore not going to be subject to Chanan. This, of course, should ring somewhat familiar to us, because it's very similar to how the Rashba explains Avshalu Sochto Aser, that even if you reject Chetik Nasavela B'Shari Surim, but if you hold Avshalu Sochto Aser, the Rashba says, what's Avshalu Sochto Aser? Because even if Tam does leave, all the Tam doesn't leave. There's still a lot of Tam that remains. And again, that's the same reason why there's no Chanan by Yavish B'Yavish, because the basis of Chanan is that there's a Bliya that sits in the original food, and that Bliya is more concentrated in the original food than it is in the subsequent taroves. So lach b'lach, it's simply not true. By lach b'lach, it's not more concentrated. By yavish b'yavish, there's no bliya b'chlal. So in either case, you understand why we're not going to say chaticha nas nevela. That is how the Ravid explains. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran, after quoting the Ravid, so the Ran said that Chanan by Shari Surim is only a Dinmi D'Rabbanan, right? Chanan understands that Shitas Rabbi Natan, that we're going to apply Chanan by Shari Surim, is only Gzeira Atu Basar B'Chalav. So comes along the Ran, and he says there would only be a Gzeira of Chanan on Shari Surim in a case that resembles Basa B'Chalav. So with regard to Shari Surim, there's no Chanan for Yavish B'Yavish because there's no Chanan on Basa B'Chalav, Yavish B'Yavish, because there is no Isra Basa B'Chalav, Yavish B'Yavish, when there's no Tam that transfers from one to the other. So says the Ran, and Hu Adin, where there's no Chanan for an Isra Mashu also, because you don't have Nisr Mashu by Basar B'Chalav. So he says there's also no Chanan by Lach B'Lach. In the case of the Yayin Nesach that mixed with Yayin Shalchulin, and then it mixes with water, because if you have wine mixing with wine, the assumption of that whole sugya is that everything's cold. So there is no resemblance to Basa B'Chalav. Basa B'Chalav is only Derech Bishul, is only if there's heat. So you could be, it could be Kavush Kol Yom Kulo, and it's not going to be Basa B'Chalav Midaraisa. So the whole idea of Chaticha Nas Nevela is only going to be, by Shari Surim, is only going to be Atu Basa B'Chalav, Gzeira Atu Basa B'Chalav. It would have to be a situation that's similar to Basa B'Chalav. So now note, and this is going to come back to us, note that the Ran is very different than the Ravid, meaning the Ravid was saying that the reason we won't say Chanan on Lach B'Lach is because of the fact that it's Lach, is because of the fundamental nature of that which is Lach, of liquids, is that liquids diffuse evenly throughout each other. Whereas the Ran is not focused on that at all. What the Ran is focused on, meaning if you were to have meat juice and milk, you know, liquid that cook together, that's Basar B'Chalav Midaraisa. So if you were to have liquid of Shari Surim together with the liquid of Heter, you can have Chanan on a Lach B'Lach, according to the Ran. What you can't have is two cold liquids that then create a sense of Chanan. That's the Ran's focus, that it's the fact that the wine, presumably, in Avodah Zarah and Gimel, the wine that we're talking about is cold Yayin. We're not talking about when one is cooking the Yayin together. So that is Shitas Haran. Then, I'll say them all over again when we summarize it all. Then we have a third shita, and that is the Or Zeruah. The Beis Yosef quotes an Or Zeruah. The Beis Yosef quotes an Or Zeruah who says that Chanan is based on the facts on the ground, that when a Dover Isser gets into a Dover Mutter, it becomes Nivla into that Dover Mutter, and that's what we call Chanan. The Or Zeruah says that that's not what happens when you have Lach B'lach, meaning it's hard to explain because I'm not sure if I understand it myself, but the way the Or Zeruah, the way the Or Zeruah understands it is Chanan is that you have one item that does like a hostile takeover of the other item, that permeates through the other item and makes it Aser. Chanan is based on the idea that the Iser takes over the Davar HaMutter. But if it's just a combination of two things, there's no takeover, there's just an even distribution of two things that are just mixing together, that are fusing together, then there's not going to be Chanan. Meaning Chanan assumes that there's Heter that's Balua with Iser, that there you had a Dvar Heter that now has Iser that's Balua in it, but not Heter Shem'urav Balua. Isser. If you have Heter and Isser that just happen to be mixed, that's the same reason Vayavish Vayavish. There is no one taking over the other. They just happen to be mixed together, where you can't identify what's what. But it's not that one item took over the other item. So the nature of Chanan is that you have a defined Dvar Heter that Isser has now taken over. But when you mix two liquids, the two liquids just completely harmoniously, or sometimes disharmoniously, but harmoniously coexist. That they just happen. It's not that there's one that took over the other. And then that's the hardest one to really understand. Then you have the sheet of the Mordechai. The Mordechai knows Tafresh Sadi Zayin. He writes that the reason there's no Chanan by Lach B'lach is that you can't have Chanan, meaning, again, we said last time, that you have to always look at every word of the phrase and figure out which words of a phrase that Chazal use are absolutely critical to that definition and which words are just, you know, a function of language. You always have to have words, you know, to describe something, but they may not be critical to the definition. So, Chaticha Atzma Na'ases Nevela, says the Mordechai, key word is Chaticha. That the you can't have Chanan by Lach B'lach because there is no Chaticha. Other Rishonim seem to say this way as well, meaning that the din of Chanan is based on you have a Dover Chashuv called a Chaticha. Tosos wonder, for example, how there could be a case of an Isser Kedei Klipa. So Tosos, we discussed in the past, why don't we say that there's Chanan in that Klipa, which then spreads to the next Klipa, and then Chanan, and then to the next Klipa, until the whole Chaticha is Aser. So one answer that we said was that, no, the Shem Isser only travels as far as the Dover Aser can actually go. The Dover Oser only gets into the Kedei Klipa, so it's you can't have the Shem Isser go any further. So Chanan can't ask for anything beyond the Klipa. But Tosos quotes from Reb Lezer Mimitz that there can't be Chanan in that case because there's no Chaticha. A Klipa is not a Chaticha. So, which is what the Mordechai says over here, meaning that if you don't have a Chaticha, you don't have Chaticha Nas Nevela. So you can only say on that Klipa that you now have a Chanan if you had a Chaticha, but a Klipa is not a Chaticha. Tosos doesn't like that Reb Lezer Mimitz. Tosos rejects it. Reb Kiva Eger over here in Simon Sadi Beis on the Shach and Sivkat Nyadalid points out that according to the Mordechai that Chanan is dependent on the Chashivus of a Chaticha. If you had a Chaticha that was Ne'esra, right? Let's say you had a Chaticha that became Aser and it was a Chaticha and then you pulverized it, you liquefied it, you would still say Chanan, meaning it's not a function of being a liquid. It's a function of, at the time of the Taroves, being a Chaticha. So if it was a Chaticha at the time of the Taroves, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, and then you liquefy the Chaticha, so then you would still say Chanan, because at that time it was Nas Nevela. But if you assume that Chanan relates to an uneven distribution of the Isser, Right, so then, so like that, there's a good, like we said from the Ravid, that there's a greater concentration, similar to how the Rashba and the Sudef Shul Sukto, that there's a greater concentration of the Isser in the original Chaticha, if that's what Chanan is based on. So then, when you're if you're able to liquefy it, so you're no longer going to assume that there's a greater concentration of the Isser. Somehow it melts and it liquefies. So now you're going to assume that it gets evenly distributed, and that's in fact where Rabbi Kiviger points out that you have this fundamental chiluk between the Mordechai on the one hand and let's say the Ravid on the other hand. So again, just to review the four basic approaches. This is all, again, all four of these approaches are within the camp, within the group that says we're not going to say Chanan by Lach B'Lach. There are clearly Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, that do say Chanan by Lach B'Lach. But assuming that we don't say Chanan by Lach B'Lach, and it's gonna matter why we don't, but assuming we don't say Chanan by Lach B'Lach, four approaches as to why not to say Chanan by Lach B'Lach. We have the Ravid, where the Ravid says the whole idea of Chanan is based on the fundamental principle that when something is boleya in Isser and becomes Usser, it will never purge itself of that Isser in a way that will evenly distribute the Isser to all the other Chatichos. There will always be a higher concentration of the Isser in the original Chaticha. That's the principle of Chaticha Nas Nevela. You can't say that by a liquid, because by a liquid, if I have a little bit of Yayin Nesach that mixes with the Yayin Shulchulin, with regular Yayin, and then water mixes with that, the Yayin Nesach gets mixed evenly. It's not more concentrated in the yayin of chulin than it is in the water. It gets evenly distributed. That is shitas haravid. Then we had the Ran that Chanan by Shari Surim is only gzeira atu basa b'chol, so you're never going to say it by a davar tzonin. You're never going to say it by something that's cold. And the case of the Yayin Nesach was cold. Then we had the Or Zarua, where the Or Zarua said that Chanan is only when there's a takeover, when the davar iser permeates the Dvar Heter and takes it over and assers it. But if you don't have such a metzius, you have a metzius of two things that just totally meld together, then you're not going to say Chanan. And then you have the Mordechai, where the Mordechai says Chanan requires Chaticha. Without Chaticha, you don't have Chaticha atz menasas nevela. Now, Rav Salvechik in Simon Samachay Ros Dalid lumps all four of these opinions together, right? Meaning he just breaks the Shittos down into two groups. There are the Balei HaTosfos who say that we say Chanan by Lach B'Lach, and there's the Ravid and friends, HaRavid V'Siato, who say that we don't say Chanan when it comes to Lach B'Lach, right? That's how Rav Salvechik divides it up. Then he offers an explanation, right? So now the Rishonim themselves offered explanations. So what's Rav Salvechik doing? So you look at Rav Salvechik's explanation, and you see he's probably being mevayer the sheet of the Or Zarua. He's explaining what the Or Zarua means, meaning because and it sounds a little bit similar to the Mordechai. So he sort of takes sheet number three and says it in a way that's not that dissimilar from the sheet of the Mordechai. Here's how he does it. He says as follows: Vanira levar baze da'amrin b'chulin kuf chesamid aleph. Kuf chesamid aleph. We say in chulin kuf chesamid aleph. Kivan shenosan tam b'chaticha, chaticha atzma na'ases nevela. Umize yesh ledayek d'lo amrin chanan ela b'atzma shel chaticha. So Salvechik says, let's pay careful attention to the words that Chazal use. Chazal say chaticha atzma na'asas nevel, not just chaticha na'asas nevel. We say chanan. Maybe the abbreviation should be chanan. You know, with throw the ayin in. It's chaticha atzma na'as nevel. It's not just the chanan. It's not just chaticha na'as nevel. So the chaticha atzma is what becomes nevela. So he says you only have it by atzma shel chaticha. So then the question becomes mahu atzma shel chaticha. What exactly is, how do we define what is the atzma shel chaticha? So he says that it could be ledas haravid, atzma shel chaticha. When he says ledas haravid, he means this whole group, the group of Rishonim that are of the opinion that we don't say chanan by lach b'lach. Ledas haravid, atzma shel chaticha, perusho, what that means is chatichas haheter shehchzika es ha'iser the Gormala Tarovis Hashnia, the Chaticha of Heter, that has within it these Blios of Isser that bring about the second Tarovis. V'zelo Shayach Alehecha Shatam Isser Nival Bibe'en V'acharkach Nivla Bibe'en V'acharkach Nofla Os Chaticha L'toch Heter Acher. That's only going to be if it's Nivla in a Be'en, in a Chaticha, and then that Chaticha falls into another Heter. Aval Kishin Sariv Isser B'tchila Yavish B'Yavish Shlo Nivla Tame Isser B'Chatich Heter. Let's say Yavita Rovitz of Yavish B'Yavish, where there is no Bliya. So there is no chaticha that has taken that has absorbed within it any sort of iser. Inami kishinasari v'lach b'lach sha'akol nivlol umispashet b'shava. You have lach b'lach where everything is even. Lo mistaver lomer d'chashav kilu hetarishon hechzik es iser v'hovil also l'tarav es hashniyah. You're not going to say chaticha atzma nasas nevela because you don't have a chaticha seter that's holding the iser and is the transport of that iser to the next taroves. It's the iser itself that's going into the next taroves. You don't have the dvar heter that's the kli that's being machzik this iser and through that is bringing the iser into the next taroves. So it sounds that he's explaining what the Zeruah really means that Hanan is based on a metzius of a davar iser that a davar heter rather that's holding on to a dvar iser, but he says it in a similar way to the Mordechai, but not just that it needs to be a chaticha, but you need chaticha atzma. And what's chaticha atzma? Chaticha atzma, according to the Ravid v'siato, according to the Ravid and anyone who holds that there's no Hanan by lach b'lach. It's because you can only have atzma shechaticha if you have something that was boleya the yisr within it, and therefore, im nafal heter arishon halach habalua mi yisr l'toch heter acher. If you have kosher wine that mixes with Yayin Nesach, you can't say that the kosher wine is what then causes the taroves with the water. Rather, it's just like the Yayin Nesach fell into the water. And that's why Rowan is a heter, kilu eno, and you just view it as a taroves of water and Yayin Nesach. You only have one taroves. You only have it. You didn't need a delivery system. The iser came in on its own. However, according to Tosos, that we do say Hanan by lach b'lach, the idea of atzma shel chaticha, says Rav Soloveitchik, means the chaticha that has the tam of iser. And even by lach b'lach, there's tam of iser in the taroves. So atzma shel chaticha just means that which has tam of iser. Not that which has to be used as a delivery system of the iser to a second taroves, but that which just, if you taste it, has tam of iser. So anything that has tam of iser, and it is going to be the chaticha atzma, the atzma shel chaticha. So let me get to the questions over here. According to the Mordechai, why is lach b'lach automatically not a chaticha? Why can we have? Yeah, because I guess by definition, liquid is not a chaticha. Meaning, by definition, it's not a chaticha because it's. Meaning that's exactly the point that a marinated burger. Yeah, so you want to say that what? That the burger is chaticha. And the marinade becomes a chaticha of iser? Because it has blios of the...
And that would be lach b'lach.
That's not lach b'lach. I mean, that's lach b'lach. That's how we would normally say chaticha nas nevela, but you're saying in the reverse. Normally we say chaticha nas nevela is that you have, let's say, milk that gets into the burger, right? So the burger becomes the chaticha. What about in the reverse? What if the burger was not kosher, and the marinade was. So now do you say chaticha nas nevela on the blios in the marinade, right? That you would say that it's chaticha nas nevela if you were to take that marinade and mix it with something else. Yeah, that's the question. Yeah, so according to the Mordechai, would you be able to say Chaticha Nas Nevela, or is it fundamental to a liquid that you would never say Chaticha Nas Nevela? So it seems like when it's a Bliya, we would say Chaticha Nas Nevela. When it's a Taroves, when it's just a mixture of two liquids, so since it's just a fusion of the two, and it's not a direct Bliya from one to the other, although we'll get to that in a second. You know what, let's actually... This will become clearer as we let it play out in the world of Basar B'Chalav. Because the problem with saying that there's no Chatich Nas Nevela by Lach B'Lach is that there's a Beferish Gemara that there is Chatich Nas Nevela by Lach B'Lach, specifically when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, which we'll get to in just a second. Jesse?
The way we explain the Ur Zeruah first, that it's about an idea of one item taking over and permeating the other, isn't that directly against the whole idea of Hanan in the first place by Basar B'Chalav, that it's not one item taking over and it's...
Oh, okay, good, exactly. So we now have to take everything we just learned, translate that over to Basar B'Chalav, but the way we're going to do that is by just asking a fundamental question first, is that if you actually learn the Gemara very clearly applies Chaticha Nas Nevela to milk that was balua in meat and then came out of the meat. And then we say Chaticha Nas Nevela on other milk, right, that it mixes with. So that's a problem, because that's a taroves of lach b'lach, right? The Rishonim, the Achronim, they all point out that that the sugya on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Alef going over to Kuf Ches Amud Beis is exactly this case. The Gemara says that when chalav becomes absorbed in the basar, it takes on the status of basar b'chalav, and then it makes the rest of the pot of milk usser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the min b'mino ain't a bottle. Meaning, if you assume min b'mino ain't a bottle, I don't care how much more milk there is in that pot, and it could be shishim keneged the basar, but you have milk that became basar b'chalav that was absorbed in that burger, right? And now that milk is going to come out min b'mino ain't a bottle. L'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, and that milk that's basar b'chalav is now going to usser everything else. Because Chaticha Nas Nevela. So that's what, and the Gemara uses the expression. So the milk went into the meat, mixed with some meat juice, and then the milk went out and mixed with the rest of the milk. So it's all lach b'lach. So the Ran and the Shach say that that's Chanan by lach b'lach of the chalav in the chalav. So we need to figure out what are all these Rishonim that disagree with the Balei Atosos. How are they going to answer this? So the way they approach it is we got to go through one by one, right? Let's go through one by one, right? Meaning we have the Ran quoted Arrived, then we have the Ran himself, then we have the Ur Zeruah, and we have the Mordechai. So let's start like this. Let's not go in order. Let's start with the Ran. Right, the Ran says that because he addresses it directly, he says, "No, this isn't a problem that there's no chanan belach belach because the Ran is going to have the easiest time." Right, I mean, just put it together. What was the Ran's whole svara? Why is there no chanan belach belach? Because the Ran said that there's really no such klal that there's no chanan belach belach. There's no chanan. The Ran said by tzonein. You know, by the wine case, not because it's wet, not because it's liquid, because it's cold. That's why there's no chanan belach belach. But of course, if you cook milk and meat together, and then that milk is cooked with other milk, yeah, of course you're going to say chanan in such a case. Meaning, when you're dealing with sonin, then there's no chanan. So there's no derech bishlas or torah, so no reason to make a gzeira to basar b'chalav. But where the lach b'lach is hot, and there is derech bishl, so of course there's going to be chanan. And that's what the Ran himself, the Ran addresses this directly. He has the easiest times. That's why he's the first one to address. Now, that might work for the Ur Zeruah also. Maybe there can't be a b'liyah for lach b'lach when they're cold, but maybe there could be a b'liyah for lach b'lach when they're hot. Meaning, going back to David's point before, that let's say you have a burger that's not kosher, and it's in a kosher marinade. So now the marinade becomes, let's say, the barbecue sauce now becomes chanan, right? Would you say it becomes chanan? You say no, it's never lach, so it's not going to become chanan. No, the chara would, because it has an actual b'liyah. So maybe the Ur Zeruah would say the same thing, that there can't be a b'liya for lach b'lach when they're cold, but maybe there could be a b'liya and a takeover when they're hot. you know, yesh ladam at least. You know, would you say that one item takes over the other when they're hot, that one permeates the other versus just mixes together with. For the ravid, there's no chanan by lach balach because the bliya can easily be evenly distributed, right? Unlike a solid, which where there's a higher concentration of the bliya in one location, right? So according to the Ravid, how's he going to explain this, right? Why should there be a distinction? There's no difference in cold and hot. I mean, the point is that it just gets evenly distributed. So in fact, that's why the Ran says he doesn't like the Ravid. The Ran says the Ravid is against the Gemara, meaning by the Ravid saying that there's no chanan by lach balach. It's just because it gets evenly distributed, it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara assumes that there is Chanan Belach Belach. So the Ravid would probably say that the idea of Chanan is different by Basar B'Chalav than it is by Shari Surim. That when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, you know, Rabbeinu Ephraim had said that why do we say Chatik Nas Nevela by Basar B'Chalav? So Rabbeinu Ephraim said, because each item that you start with is Mutter. Heter creates Isser, so it's got to be that the Chaticha becomes Nevela, meaning everyone agrees to that. Now, that could apply very well to Lach B'Lach, meaning that's Svara, that you take a Dvar Heter and a Dvar Heter and you mix them together and it becomes Isser, so you have no choice but to say Chanan. That works for Lach B'Lach just as well as it works for a Bliya and a Davar Yavesh, right? Meaning you don't need the Svara of the Ravid when it comes to Basar B'Chalav. The whole Svara of the Ravid of not saying Lach B'Lach was only said to address the Sugya and Avodah Zarah, which was not about Basar B'Chalav. So it could be that the Ravid's telling us that there's a different logical basis for Chanan by Shari Surim than there is by Basar B'Chalav. That when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, why do I say Chanan? I say Chanan because I have no choice. It's Heter and Heter. You got to say Chanan. But when it comes to Shari Surim, why do I say Chanan? Oh, that's a metzius, that the greater concentration of the Yisr is in the original Chaticha, and then even when it gets distributed, it doesn't get distributed evenly, it stays in higher concentration. You need that whole Torah only by Shari Surim. By Basar B'Chalav, you don't have to come out to that whole Torah, because anyway, you're going to say Chanan. So therefore, the Ravid would say, of course you're going to have Chanan by Lach B'Lach when it comes to Basar B'Chalav. You're just not going to have Chanan by Lach B'Lach when it comes to Shari Surim. So, and what about the Mordechai? So it could be that he only meant to distinguish between a Chaticha and a non-Chaticha when it comes to Shari Surim. Because by Shari Surim, Chanan is a Gzeira Atu Basar B'Chalav. So it's hard to imagine that you have such a distinction between Lach B'Lach versus non-Lach B'Lach on a Daraisa level. So the Mordechai probably would assume that the Rabbanan only expanded Chanan to Shari Surim when there's a real Chaticha, but not to a non-Chaticha. But when you have Chanan Midoraisa, like Basar B'Chalav, it's not up to the Rabbanan to decide, you know, where it should and should not apply. So, meaning, the when the Rabbanan are going to say Chaticha Atzma Nasa Nevela, they want an Atzma Shel Chaticha. But when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, you don't need an Atzma Shel Chaticha. You're going to say Chanan anyway. Ooh, so this is a huge nafkamina now. Meaning, if everything we said just now is correct, that the shitos that hold that there's no Chanan by Alach Balach are basically divided into, we said four camps, but really it could be divided into two camps, whether that some will say that Chanan by Alach Balach actually does apply to Basar B'Chalav, and for sure will apply to Basar B'Chalav fundamentally. Now you can have the follow, whereas others will say, no, it doesn't apply to Basar B'Chalav either, when it's cold, right? So what if you have a case where Lach B'Lach and the liquids are hot? So Lach B'Lach by Basar B'Chalav definitely creates Chanan. That's what the Gemara said. What about Shari Surim and everything's hot? You have Lach B'Lach, Shari Surim, but everything's hot. Take the Yayin case and boil the wine. Right, so now you have boiled wine mixed with yayin esach, mixed with regular yayin, and then the water. Then it's all hot. So there are blios. So the Ran and possibly the Arzura would say, then you got to be machmir. Then even by shari surim in a chinam, you got to be machmir. While the Mordechai and the Ravid would be mekel for lach v'lach when it comes to shari surim. So comes along the Rama over here in Sif Dalid, and the Rama says, okay, does Chanan apply to lach v'lach? Says the Rama, yesh omrim, delo arminul Chanan, im nesariv isulach behetulach. Right, so he starts off simply enough, telling us, we don't pass like Tosfos. Right? Tosfos says that we're going to say Chanan even by lach b'lach. Comes along the Rama and he says, no, we don't. We don't say Chanan by lach b'lach. But he has not yet told us which Svara. Why not? Meaning, is it the Ravid? Is it the Ran? Is it the Azura? Is it the Mordechai? Right? What's he saying? So he says, Yesh omrim, do min Chanan v'sarif yisalach lach behet olach, v'achar kach nisarif hakol behetar acher, v'ein tzrichim rak shishim negedi isur shenofal. V'yesh lismoch al ze b'shar yisurim l'tzorech hefzer gadol, avlo basar v'chalav. And you should rely on this b'shar yisurim, unless it's hefzer gadol, but you do not get to rely on this when it comes to basar v'chalav. So what's he saying? Right? Meaning, he could be telling us, look, by shar yisurim, we always have Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? So it could be that there's no chanan anyway by shar yisurim. And tziruf, he's making a tziruf, and you have the Ravid, the Azura, the Mordechai, and the Ran that all say that there's no Chanan by lach b'lach. So you put Rabbeinu Ephraim together with all those Rishonim that disagree with the Balei Tosfos. Okay, so make a din, you can be mekel. But the Rama says when it comes to basar b'chalav, where everybody agrees, you say Chanan. So then you only have one issue of do you say Chanan by lach b'lach? Then you can't be mekel. You don't have two tzirufim. You don't have a tziruf. So you would think that's what he's saying. That everyone agrees that there's Chanan by basar b'chalav. So you only have that one suffix as to whether you say Chanan by lach b'lach, and that you need to be machmir about. Comes along Shach Siv Katan Tes Vav, and he says, incorrect. That is not what the Rama is saying. He's not making some sort of tziruf. Ulufi ani yisdaiti eino mishum chumra ela dukuliyam lamodu bezek. K'dimuch v'edi b'shas perakal basa dav kufches. He says, no, it's a beferish gemara that we say Chanan by lach b'lach b'basa b'chalav. Don't tell me that the reason he's telling you to be machmir by basar b'chalav is because it's a suffix, whether we say chanan by lach b'lach or not. No, it's not a suffix. It's a gemara that we say chanan by lach b'lach by basar b'chalav. Everyone has to agree that there's chanan by lach b'lach of basar b'chalav because that's the case in the gemara. So it's clear that there's chanan by lach b'lach of basar b'chalav. And when the Rama says that you can't be mekel, it's not a chumra. It's very much meikar adin. So Rav Salvechik explains what's the shach doing over here. He says that the shach understood that the definition of chaticha atzma is different for basar b'chalav than it is for shari surim. Meaning again, Salvechik is working with his lamdas, that it's all about how you define those words. Chaticha atzma nasas nevela. So what is the chaticha atzma? So it says Salvechik, the Shach would tell you, it depends. It depends if you're talking about Shari Surim or if you're talking about Basar B'chalav. When it comes to Shari Surim, the entire nafkamina of Chanan is what? When it comes to Shari Surim, is that you need Shishim against not just the Yisr, but the entire Chatichas Heter that holds the Yisr. Chanan tells me about a ratio. Chanan tells me about how much I need to be Mevatel. When it comes to Basar B'chalav, though, what's the notion of Chanan? It's not only about a ratio for Bittel, but if I eat a kezayis of this, I am now going to be chayv malkus because chatich nas nevela. So it's not only about a ratio of bittel in the next tyroves. In this very tyroves, I already have a nafkamina. Before there's a second tyroves, I already have a nafkamina. Oh, says Rav Salvechik, let's go back to my two ways of understanding what a chaticha atzma is. Does chaticha atzma mean a delivery system to the second tyroves? Or does chaticha atzma mean, no, the very item that's suffused with the tam of the yisr in it? So he says it could be there's a difference between shari surim and basar b'chalav. The definition of atzma shel chaticha will be, as the Ravid v'siyato assum, a chatichas heter shechzika es yisr v'garma l'taroves hashniya, a delivery system to the second taroves, which means it won't apply by lach b'lach, because that's how we explain the Shitas, that's how Salvation explained the Shitas Ravid, that it won't apply to Lach B'lach. When it comes to Basar B'chalav, however, you have this other huge nafkamina, that if you eat a kezayis of the Tarovis, you get Malkus. Forget about a second Tarovis, which leads you to believe that the definition of Atzma Shel Chaticha is as Tosas understood, a chaticha sheyesh batam iser, and that applies equally to lach balach. So it turns out what the Rama is telling us, what the Shach is telling us, the Rama is telling us, is that by Basar B'chol there's no tzad lahakel. By Basar B'chol there's no tzad lahakel. Whereas by Shari Surim you do have tzadim lahakel, because the definition of chaticha atzma is different for Shari Surim than it is for Basar B'chol. Now again, if you're a Ran person, then you're not really distinguishing between Basar B'chol and Shari Surim. You're distinguishing between heat and cold. And if that's the case, you would have to say, meaning the Rama, the way the Shach understands Rama, is not going like the Ran. Right? The Rama is drawing a fundamental distinction between Basar B'chalav and Shari Surim. He's not just saying, practically, because you also have Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Ephraim to think about, so we could practically distinguish between Basar B'chalav and Shari Surim. No, it's not just practical, it's fundamental. That fundamentally there's a difference between Basar B'chalav and Shari Surim. That's very much not like the Ran. So was the Rama even being makel for hat lach balach? Well, if you assume like the Ran, no way. But if you assume like the Shach, that he's not assuming like the Ran, right? So maybe, yeah, maybe he's even being makel for a hat lach balach when it comes to Shari Surim. Now, that is the issue of lach b'lach when it comes to Chanan. So it's one little line of the Rama, you know, but it's there's a lot of background to that one little line of the Rama. One more not line of the Rama, but one more matter to discuss, which really emerges from a long taz over here, the taz and a long nekudas hakesef. There's an important taz in nekudas hakesef over here when it comes to a mashahu iser, right? Do we say Chanan by a mashu? Does a mashu create chanan? So he said that had Rabbeinu Tam resolved the issue of the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah with the Yayin Nesach, right? How's Rabbeinu Tam going to explain why we don't say chanan over there? So Tosfos Kufum et Aleph quoted that Rabbeinu Tam says you're not going to say chanan when it's an Isra mashu. You're only going to say chanan when there's an Asinas Tam, right? There couldn't possibly be chanan if the Dover Asr was not nosing Tam into the Dover Mutter, and that's what we spoke about the other day, right? So if you have an Isser Mashahu, you know, that Asr's in a Taroves, and then that mixes into another Taroves, we don't say that the Mashahu extends to the second Taroves, and we're going to say Chanan, right? That's what we assume. So again, you have like a Mashahu Chametz that gets mixed in with, I don't know, with your chicken soup, and then you mix that chicken soup with your potato soup, and chicken soup and potato soup are all kasher lePesach, so we're not going to assume that the potato soup is going to be Asr also. The mashu is not going to transfer over into a second taroves. So the Taz in Sifkat and Tazayin has a long discussion of this, and he asks, "Wait a second, well, why not? Meaning, if some of the mashu is still inside the chicken soup, right? Then why not just say that there's a mashu that fell into the potato soup, right? There's no shear for a mashu, so it could be a very, very tiny mashu in the chicken soup." But now that mashu is going to mix in with the potato soup. I probably shouldn't be giving examples of lach balach, but okay. Right, why not assume that it's then going to mix in with the potatoes? So it will be an Isser mashu over there also. So the Taz writes that you see from here, trei mashu hu lo amrina, new principle, that you're not going to assume a double transference of a mashu. Okay. Why not? Meaning, it seems to not make much sense. If a mashu is a mashu, so why wouldn't I say trei mashu? Right? Well, where does this principle come from? Trei mashu lo amrinan. So there are a couple of ways of explaining this. The Prima Gadam over here explains that when there's enough iser to be nosin tam, the mitzius is, it's just a matter of mitzius, the mitzius is that you can draw that tam out of the iser into a second taroves. But when it was only a mashu that went in to begin with, a mashu gets so lost in a larger item that you can never really suck it back out. So the mashu goes in and it's lost forever. It's never going to be able to be pulled out. I don't understand what that means. Like, why in the world, again, this is one of those learning yaradeya with a lot of emuna kind of, why in the world would that be true? That you can't pull a mashahu out. Remember, mashu is a ratio, it's not even an amount, right? That a mashu can never come out. I would think it could come out in the same ratio that it went in. In the same ratio that something that's no sintam can come out. But that's how the Prima Gadol says. Rav Soloveitchik has a different explanation, which I think maybe resonates a little bit more. Rav Soloveitchik in Simen Tzadi Dalet Os Aleph explains that Disfir Le Rabbeinu Tam when you have min b'mino, that's not batel, so that's asur b'mashu, right? Tam ki'ikr is also not batel. But mikol makom chalukin hein zemizeh. There's a difference between that which tam ki'ikr is not batel and that which Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino is not batel. Teheicha she'isr nosan tam beheter. V'chal be'din tam ki'ikr, when you have isr that's actually nosin tam in teheter and you actually have a din of tam ki'ikr, Chashval pidin kilu nikar iser. Ooh, so we should remember this from Taroves, right? Rav Soloveitchik said, when you have tam ki ikar, it's called nikar iser. How's it nikar iser? Because you could taste it. So it's nikar iser. So it says, if it's still be'en in that Taroves, the iser is still be'en. And so what that the iser is be'en? There's no real Taroves. There's no real shame Taroves. Shame Taroves is when something loses its identity. But if you could still recognize the item there, then it's not really a taroves. It's mafkia, the shame taroves. B'mitzias, there's a heter and iser that are mu'urav with each other, but the fact that I could still taste the iser means that there's no taroves. And that's why it's aser. I mean, that's the principle of tam ki'ikr. Tam ki'ikr means it's not a full taroves. Whereas, when it comes to min b'mino, it's absolutely a taroves. It's just that normally taroves comes with a heter. Taroves means that it's matir, that the heter will be matir the iser. But when it comes to min b'mino, where it clearly you have a shem taroves, rak lo chal hamatir shel taroves. You don't have the matir of a taroves, the halachic matir that makes the taroves okay, which means the matir is called bittel, and you don't have that. So when you have tam in the taroves, the reason that there's no bittel is because there's no taroves to begin with. But when there's no tam and it's just nisr mashu, yes, there's a taroves, but there's no bittel. So v'sfir le rabbeinu tam, shedin min b'mino b'mashu, lo nemer el b'makom shenasariv isr b'heter. Aval lo kishenasariv taroves shel isr b'heter ba'od heter. So rabbeinu tam will say that min b'mino b'mashu, the idea that min b'mino is b'mashuhu, that's only when the iser is mixed with heter. But not when that taroves of heter is mixed with another heter. V'hainu mashkos v'taz, it's trei mashu lo amrinan. That's what trei mashu lo amrinan means. Pirish hadavar, daholu b'taroves min b'mino l'rabi yudah shapir ika shem taroves. V'ein iser omid be'en b'fnei atzmo, memei l'shuv ein b'kocha l'aser b'mashuhu. Since it's no longer an entity, it's already fully in this taroves, it no longer has the ability to asur b'mashu. There are two issues with this understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, as you know, with Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam and the Taz. First of all, that tam ki'ikr is afkas ha-taroves that he's assuming. He's assuming min b'mino is that there is a taroves just without the matir. So you could take an issue with either one of those things. First of all, he points out, Rabbi Konigsberg points out, or maybe Rav Soloveitchik himself pointed out, that Tosfos inside Testament Aleph quotes from Arimir Alins that Tam Kikr is only in Isra Seh. And the Kesem Mishnah, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Aleph Vav, and the Megillas Esther, and the Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Saseh Kuf Tzadiches, explain the Shitas HaRambam, that Tam Kikr is not just a Naseh, it's a Lav, but, you know, so it's like a Hajrali Surukama, but only as far as Malkus, not as far as Karis is concerned. Well, wait a second. If the whole idea of Tam Kikr is that there's no Taroves and the Yisr is still Ben, how could you say the Yisr takes on a totally new character? That the Yisr is no longer Lav, now it's only Naseh. The Yisr is no longer Karis, now it's only a Lav. If there's no Taroves Bechlal, and you just view the Yisr as if it's still standing there, so it's very hard to say that. Apparently these shittos hold that even when we apply Tam Kikr, it's not considered as if the original Isra is Ben. That would mean that we don't distinguish between one Mashuhu and Trey Mashuhu. And also, a raya from Menachos Chaf Beis, Min B'mino, to say that Min B'mino is Hafkas Be'ikra chalos shem taroves, meaning the Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say that min b'mino is, it is a taroves, you just don't have the matir. Problem is, the case was dama par, dama sayer, right? So what do we say? That the dama sayer is still called dama sayer. That sounds like it's hafkas shem taroves. That even though the dama sayer is mixed with the dama par, the dama sayer is still called dama sayer. So it's ki'ilu, it's omid ba'en. Now this is important, this whole discussion about mashuhu. Obviously, whenever we talk about iser mashuhu, the bell that goes off in our head always has to be chametz, right? Meaning, when Rishonim talk about mashuhu, they're always talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Min b'mino asa b'mashuhu. We don't pass on Rabbi Yehuda anyway, so we don't care. I mean, but we do care. Why? Because we're always going to have to translate that over and see, okay, how much of this can transfer over to chametz. So, says the Taz, if a mashu of chametz gets mixed into one pot of food, and then, so obviously it's asr mashu, so that entire pot of food is asr. Then some of that food of the pot gets mixed into another pot, the food in the second pot is okay, because tre mashu, lo amrina. That's based on a metzius, that you cannot draw out a mashu, the way the Prima Gadim understood at least, that you can't draw out a mashu. So it applies both to min b'mino according to Rabbi Yehuda and to chametz pesach according to how we paskin. The mashu cannot be drawn out the second time. The shach in the Kudas HaKesef vehemently disagrees. The maisa, the food in the second pot, third pot, doesn't matter. It's all aser. It's a mashu. Says the shach in the Kudas HaKesef, od re'isi shkaga b'divrei baal turei zahav. Shenir midvar v'drabidu d'sfir le'min v'mina lo batil v'chein le'didon mi'chametz b'pesach o dover she'esh ha'matirin. He said, anytime you're going to have something that's not batil, like chametz b'pesach or dover she'esh ha'matirin v'chei agavna heicha shenes rechaticha machmas mashu b'mino v'nofel l'gdeir acheres de'ein oseres b'mashu, that it's then not going to answer on the second mashu mikol mokom shishim b'in neged rechaticha shenesra av she'gam b'drisha nir k'tzas kein. He says, I see where he gets it from the drisha. And he goes on to say, for many Rishonim, the link between min b'mino for Rabbi Yehuda and what we say about chametz and pesach, they're not the same. Trei mashu lo amrinan is true when it comes to min b'mino. Because when you have the mashuhu of the iser that gets mixed into the heter, and it's min b'mino, so there's no bittel. But when a mashuhu of when a mashuhu of that tarovus gets mixed in with something that's not mino, so then it's min b'sheino mino, so there's going to be bittel. But by chametz, it's also b'mashuhu whether it's min b'mino or min b'sheino mino, so it doesn't make a difference. It's always going to be asr mashuhu, meaning. Says the Shach, why is it Trei Mashu Lo Aminan? What's the case of Trei Mashu Lo Aminan? Trei Mashu Lo Aminan is not a case where you have a treifa chicken that gets mixed in with the treifa with kosher chicken soup, and then some of that kosher chicken soup gets mixed in with other kosher chicken soup. That's not the case. No, the case is treifa chicken gets mixed in with kosher chicken soup, then kosher chicken soup gets mixed in with potato soup. So on the second tarovitz, it's min b'sheino mino. That's what the Balei Tosfos says, trei mashu lo amrina. That second mashuhu is not going to translate over to the second tarovitz. That original mashu is not going to translate over to the second tarovitz because the second tarovitz is min b'sheino mino. But when it comes to chametz b'pesach, where min b'sheino mino is all the same, that it doesn't make a difference whether the same as min b'mino or min b'sheino mino, chametz b'pesach, it's all going to be the same anyhow. So when it comes to chametz b'pesach, you're going to say trei mashu or tlas mashu or whatever, however many mashus. It's always just going to be that one mashu of chametz. It's still going to be mixed in. So that's the inyan of mashu. So maybe with the last 5 minutes of shiur, there were so many complicated things in Sif Dalid. So maybe just like the basics, right? Maybe just 5 minutes of just like the basics of what we learned over here. Yeah, so if you can indulge me for 5 minutes, so we can stop our heads from spinning a little bit and just say, okay, like, on a simple level, like what do we need to know over here? So we had a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Chasam Ral. Kivin Shnosn Tam B'Chaticha Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela. That there's such an Indian called Chaticha Nas Nevela. Hot milk falls onto hot meat, and there isn't Shishim. The entire piece of meat becomes Aser. Meaning that piece of meat now falls into a pot with many other pieces of meat. You need Shishim Keneged, that original piece of meat, not just Shishim Keneged, the milk that was absorbed in the meat. That is what we call Chanan. Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela. The entire piece becomes strength. The Torah, according to Machlokas, if Chanan applies to Shari Surim or not. Pasuk Rabbeinu Ephraim said that we don't say, Efshel Tzokhto Asra Ela Bebasa Bechalav, but by Shari Surim, you're not going to say Chanan. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rabbeinu Ephraim. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says the din of Chanan does not apply to Shari Surim. Rabbeinu Tam holds that it does apply to Shari Surim. The whole Machlokas is only Lechora on a Drabbanan level, even though we saw some discussion about that, because Midaraisa, of course it's only going to be by Basar B'Chalav, because Rabbeinu Ephraim has a great point, that it only makes sense by Basar B'Chalav. So the whole question is, at least the way the Rambam is Rabbeinu Tam, the whole question is, do we make a Gezeira Shari Surim Atar Basar B'Chalav? So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet paskens like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that there's no Chanan B'Shari Surim. So if you have a Chazer that falls onto a piece of meat, and then that piece of meat falls into a Chalant, you only need Shishim Keneged the Chazer. You don't need Shishim Keneged the entire original Chaticha that the Chazer fell on. In Kuvav, he somewhat contradicts himself. The Shach answers that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where you no longer recognize the piece of meat that absorbed the pig fat, so we matter all of them. But anyway, the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam that we do say Chanan by Shari Surim, but the Ramah has further limitations. That even though, yes, we say Chanan by Shari Surim, the Ramah then goes on to say there are two examples of when we say Chanan by Shari Surim. And in other cases, we would not. First example is, normally when non-kosher fat falls into a pot of kosher meat and it gets mixed in, if there are 60 times the chelev, everything is going to be kosher. However, once we say chanan, if that piece of non-kosher fat was nisr davuk, it attached itself to one piece of meat, even if there are 60 times the fat in the pot, you now need 60 times connected to that piece of meat, that is chanan. Why do you need shishim against the entire piece? Either because you're worried that you might raise that piece of meat and separate it from the rest of the contents of the pot, where it's then like in Rashi and Ri territory, where, you know, like that Mishnah, where it's outside of the pot, so it's going to become chanan, or because we assume that the kosher meat, which is stuck to the fat, absorbs more of that chelev than the rest of the pot. The second case of chanan b'shari surim, was where we spoke about. Pork fat falls onto a piece of kosher meat outside of the pot, right? Rashi and the Ri, however you define what outside of the pot is. And then that piece of meat falls into the pot with the other pieces. Now you need shishim keneged that that piece of meat. Now, in the first case of Chanan B'Shari Surim, there's a nafkamina between the two explanations as to why Isser Davuk is true. Meaning, let's say you have a case where a piece of non-kosher fat falls into a pot of meat with shishim against the fat, but halfway through the cooking process, the fat sticks to a piece of meat. Meaning originally, it wasn't davuk. It was only in the middle of the cooking that it became davuk. So according to the first explanation, that the whole concern is you may lift it out. So the piece that stuck to the fat will become asr because you're afraid that you might temporarily lift it out as you're stirring it around. So you're going to need shishim against that. However, according to the second explanation, then the piece of meat is going to become mutter, because only when the fat initially falls into the mixture and sticks to a piece of meat do we say that it absorbs more from the fat than the rest of the pot would. But if the fat fell into the liquid, to the gravy, and only later got stuck to the piece of meat, then the meat would be mutter, because there's shishim in the pot against the fat. Then the Rama says that we're going to be more makil by chanan b'shari surim than by chanan by bas b'chalav. Chazer falls onto a piece of meat that's sitting in chalant. The lower half of the meat is sitting in the sauce and the upper half is outside of the sauce. And you have shishim keneged the chazer in the entire dish, but not shishim in the piece itself. And we'll assume it's not davuk. Then the dish is mutter, but the piece of meat should be thrown out. But if it was milk that fell on that same piece, you would need the chalent to have 60 times that piece of meat, not just the milk. So that's one way that Bas B'Chalav is going to be more chamer, even in the land of the Ramah, where we're going to apply Chanan B'Shari Surim. That's one way that we're going to be more machmir by Bas B'Chalav. And another way we're going to be more machmir by Bas B'Chalav than we are by Shari Surim is if you have lach b'lach, right, is by liquid. If non-kosher camel milk falls into kosher milk, and you don't have shishim keneged the camel milk, so the entire mixture is asur. But if that mixture now falls into another bowl of kosher milk, where you don't have 60 times the original taroves, but you do have 60 times the original camel milk, so says Rama, camel milk is batel, because you don't say that the original mixture becomes chanan. But even then, only b'makom efsed gadol. That heter is only for shari surim, but not for basar b'chalav. And then the Rama adds also that we don't say chanan when both items are dry, when it's yavesh b'yavesh. We don't say chanan b'shari surim when it's flavor absorbed in kalim. If a little bit of hot pork or chela falls onto a hot pot, or you cook in your pot, you cook some chazer in your pot, and then you cook kosher food in the same pot, you need 60 times the chelev or the chazer that was cooked in it to be matir the food, and not 60 times all of the flavor that's absorbed in the walls of the pot. However, by basar b'chalav, we say chanan even within kelim. So if hot milk falls on a hot benyoma fleshik pot, and then you cook in it, you need 60 times of all of the blios of that that pot, which is 60 times the entire mass of the pot, and not just 60 times the drop of milk, because we assume that the absorbed flavor in the pot becomes chanan. So, you know, like a good question to summarize, you know, all of Siftalid would be, you know, in what three ways is chanan by basar b'chalav more chamer than chanan by shari surim, even l'shita sarama, right? Something like that. Right, and just the basics, right? So you'd be able to say, as far as Blios and Kalim, as far as Lach B'Lach is concerned, as far as the Rashi and the Ri case, right? So the different cases where we'll be more machmir by Basar B'Cholov than we are by Shari Surim in terms of Chanan. But the Lamdus was Geshmak in terms of getting there. All right, so tomorrow Be'ez Hashem will move beyond. So where's the din about Blios and Kalim by Shari Sum? So that comes up later in Tzadichas, I think we had, no? Tzadichas if, hey? I'll have to take a look, but I think it's in Tzadichas. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll move on to Sifhei, right, where you have milk spritzing on a fleshik pot, opposite the food, not opposite the food, so we'll get into all that. So that will be a new, sort of a new sugya. Okay, everyone have a great day.